We live in a fast-paced and hectic world where it's easy to feel overwhelmed, stressed, and out of control. How do you manage all the competing pressures without losing sense of yourself? How do you stay focused enough to not only plot a path, but follow it? Welcome to Master Your Life, a show that offers inspiration, insight, and intelligence, as well as success stories from many walks of life that can show you how you can control your own destiny. Our knowledgeable and entertaining host and her guests give practical advice that you can use every day in the quest to master your life. Now, here's your host, Leah Mattinson.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to today's episode. I'm host Leah Mattinson. And first of all, I want to thank each and every one of you from all over this beautiful planet who've been joining me on these important episodes to help you master your life for the past 6 years, actually more than 6 years, almost seven now. And so again, want to give everyone a big shout out to say thank you for sharing the episodes far and wide with your family and friends. Those of you who found value in them, I appreciate the feedback. I also want to say thank you to everyone who's been supporting the program for the past number of years. And for people who've purchased recently iTerraCare devices or Seven Wonders water bottles and that are trying to find a way back to their health and wellness in the physical world. And so it's a step-by-step process often. And those of you who've been walking along with me for this long time or new to the program as well are going to be delighted today with the guest that I found, Paul, and I'm going to say your name wrong, Paul, can you say it for me? The leader. So I know we practiced before the show. So everyone's going to have to look Paul and his work up. But Paul and I was interested in having him on the show because there's been such an explosion in cancer rates worldwide. And I remember 30 years ago, you know, people being shocked when they had cancer. And now it's one in two people can expect, cancer. So it's a very appropriate episode that we're talking today with Paul, because Paul is the pioneer of a program called The Root Cause of Cancer and the author of The Root Cause of Cancer. And he has over 10 years of experience working with clients in intimate settings who are facing severe health challenges, often 3 and 4 stage cancer. And we know the founder of UK Health Radio, Johan Ilgenfritz, he recovered from 4 stage cancer. So we know that people can recover, but Paul's been investigating clients' lives, their childhoods, their habits, and he's discovered the root cause of cancer. And this might surprise you guys. The root cause of cancer, the main root cause of cancer, is the psycho-emotional stress factor that has to be resolved for full healing to occur. For many years, Paul's focus has been one-on-one coaching, where he's been often gets to the root cause of his cancer clients in one session. One session, guys. One session. Mm-hmm. That's amazing, you know, and helps people to begin resolving it in that one first session. Many times clients experience significant improvements of symptoms in their first session and full cancer reversal over the course of weeks or months of working with Paul. Now, Paul's primary focus is to bring this knowledge of the root cause of cancer to the world via his courses. So this is another exciting part, is we're going to talk about what Paul has learned in the last 10 years and then maybe how you can become part of his cancer coaching program. So, Paul, welcome to the show today.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. So how did you get into this, the cancer sort of thing? What brought you to helping people to resolve cancer? Did you have a cancer story yourself?
Okay. Yeah, I was a holistic lifestyle coach. I've always been passionate about just optimizing my happiness and health since a kid. Maybe it's because I grew up on a farm. I'm not sure, but it's always been a passion. And I was a holistic lifestyle coach back in 2004. I think I started in the year 2000, actually. Anyways, in 2008, my stepfather developed lung cancer. And my best friend's father also developed lung cancer, a different kind of cancer. And both of them died within a few months and of each other. And that was like a huge traumatic experience for me, of course. But what I learned in that experience was really valuable. It was a true gift to me from them in their deaths, was that something's got to change in the whole approach to cancer, because something must be wrong, because we tried everything, both alternative and conventional. And it was two examples, and they used unique, different approaches too. So my stepfather did all kinds of alternative things. He ended up doing surgery and radiation and died. And my best friend's father did all kinds of alternative things and chemotherapy and died. And they also listened to me as a holistic lifestyle coach back then in 2008. So I had them eating organic food. I had them juicing. I had them doing all these things. And yet, so it was such a revelation to me. Like it exposed me to a lot of pain, but it taught me something. And the main thing it did is it made me start questioning the whole theory and explanation of cancer itself, like why this is developing. I stopped focusing on trying to figure out how to destroy cancer. Like this is the big thing it did for me, because we did that and it didn't work. And so for 2 years, I was focused on figuring out what could the root cause be, like what's really causing cancer, because the genetic theory doesn't line up with me. I don't think that's what's going on at all. You know, why would the rate of cancer be so high in 1900 or so low, sorry, in 1900 and so much higher today? It's not because of genetics. And what I found in my research is that twins don't have the same cancers as the studies have been done where twins have been separated and twins raised in with their biological parents don't develop cancer. They don't have the same rate of cancer, but the twin that was raised in an adopted family, that adopted family's cancers show up in the twin that was raised by them.
Wow.
So
isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Wow. So yes. I started figuring out that the cause is related to emotions. It's related to our psychology. It's what's going on in our life. What kind of stress is going on in our life? And then I came up with my own theory of cancer, which is basically that. And I wrote that into my, I wrote a book based on all the research I did and the experience I started having with cancer patients. Cause I really started to get in, I devoted my life to this basically. And yeah, without a doubt now, I've worked with so many people with cancer and so many people with breast cancer, so many people with lung cancer, so many people with colon cancer. And I can tell you the root cause of cancer in every part of the body now. So today I teach this and it's not even a shock to me. When someone has lung cancer, for example, I know without a doubt, and I'll just share it right now.
I'd love you to. Yes.
The cause of lung cancer is unresolved grief every time. And I mean, I have sessions recorded with people. I have to maintain privacy, but I use this to help teach my students too, you know, that lung cancer, for example, is caused from unresolved grief. So what that means basically is if you lose someone you love, someone dies tragically, for example, that's of course an unresolved or that's a grief, like the pain, the psycho-emotional experience of loss that really hurts. It's really, truly stressful. It doesn't have to be someone that's died. You can just lose something significantly in a different way. And so that grief feeling, if it's not resolved, if it's not processed emotionally, it leads to physiological effects on our body that triggers the development of cancer. So it takes a lot to kind of explain how that works, but I can get into that too if you want.
It depends how much time we have. Sure. My question is, so when you talk about grief and loss of things, that could equal people moving, having, is that also the loss of jobs? Is it the loss of security? You know, not just the loss of a loved one, changes in circumstances.
It's a good question. It could be any of those things. It just has to be significant. It has to be
person.
A true, yeah, it has to be right. So, If I'm working in a job and I lose my job, I didn't really like the job anyways. It's not going to do a thing to me, you know, in terms of developing cancer. But if I'm living my whole dream is that career. I've invested years of my life into that job and it's attached to deeper psycho-emotional things that really matter to me. And then I lose the job suddenly and it's a true loss for me. Then it could be something that causes lung cancer. Typically it's loss of love though. Like it's loss of like a partner or loss of a relationship or loss of a child, something like that. Something that's more, but it has I have worked with someone, I have worked with people who, where it's related to their career, actually.
Right. Loss of career or dissatisfaction with career? Loss
it's,
of career.
It's more specifically, it's loss of their dream. You know, that's why I say it's not just a job. It's like what you're living for, you know, like a big, big deal. Yeah.
I'm reeling through my head so many different examples of how this could play out, you know, through the generations also. So, you know, some people who are a little bit older maybe had success and security in their careers. Now there's lots of people who are not even able to, you know, buy a house like we used to be able to do. Because so the grief of giving up the dream of kind of a normal life is quote unquote normal also. Is an interesting thing that's sort of happening en masse with a lot of people.
I like the way that you're thinking because essentially I think these discoveries are going to can lead to a paradigm shift, like a true paradigm shift where this is how humanity thinks about cancer. Like what is the stress that caused the person's cancer? That's the paradigm shift that needs to occur. And once that happens mainstream, we really can start to end cancer. I think it's possible to end cancer. Not permanently. Like I could develop cancer a year from now if I get into stress in my life that I can't resolve, that I can't grow through. I could develop cancer. So we can't ever actually eliminate cancer because it's something that can be developed based on whether or not... whether or not we get into stress.
Right. Life circumstances. So how do you explain children's cancers?
Well, that's a good question. Before I answer that, I just want to say the main focus of cancer, though, has been not on the root cause, right? The focus has been the war on cancer. That is the main focus, and it has been for 100 years. How can we destroy cancer? And even in the alternative realm, which is what I discovered years ago, it's still a focus on how can we make the immune system stronger so that then we can destroy cancer naturally? But what I'm saying is stress is causing cancer. So if you resolve the stress, you prevent cancer. And if you resolve the stress, cancer reverses too. So I have tons of testimonials now of clients, both recorded and written, of their cancer disappearing by resolving the root cause, which is psychoemotional.
Right. And why would anybody not give it a try? You know, so.
Well, that's a good question. There's a reason for that.
Which is also psycho-emotional, I'd imagine.
Exactly. When you start to dig in deeper to see what are the stresses? What is the stress? Then we get into real life challenges, like real relationship challenges, career challenges, and it's painful. It can be painful. It's stressful. It's like we're talking about stress here. So the emotions we're talking about are emotions like anger, guilt, grief, and none of these things feel good. It's an at the very least, you could say it's an uncomfortable area to get into. And, you're digging into a realm that comes with much more responsibility, like much more things you have to face and change. Like if you get cancer and you start taking like a supplement, well, maybe your life doesn't really change at all. But if you get cancer and then you look deeper and say, okay, what was the stress? And then you realize you've had unresolved conflict with your partner that you married. And that's been going on for the last couple of years, and it reached an intensity that actually has caused cancer to develop in your body. The amount of the weight of that can be so heavy, like, whoa, there's so much as part of that, that people can just not want to even talk about it. Like, don't even go there. But then what happens is they can't heal. If you don't go deeper, then you can destroy cancer with chemotherapy. It does work. Chemotherapy can destroy cancer sometimes, not always. Radiation can destroy cancer, but it's not addressing what's causing it to grow. And so then what usually happens, and I mean, I've worked with hundreds of people with cancer, and unfortunately, what really happens most of the time is the cancer reappears again in either a month or a few months, or sometimes it takes a little longer, like a couple of years. But if you don't address the root cause, it grows back.
So. And so with the lung cancer, can you give an example of somebody who had lung cancer and the things that they talked about or the things that they needed to go through in order to resolve the cancer, and sort of if they had a success, how long the success has been?
Yeah, I'll give you, well, if I'm going to share one, I'll give you the best experience that I've had with someone so far and how the potential. I can share with you examples where people weren't able to heal too, but you know, so I'll just share that. It doesn't, if you understand this, it doesn't mean you can heal for sure. In a certain sense, you can absolutely heal, but it, there's so many factors at play. It's not easy, but I'll share with you the most successful one I've had. I've had someone reverse their lung cancer in 2 weeks from one session with me. And I have this testimonial on my website with other testimonials. But what happened in this case is someone's brother had died. And when he died, my client felt like it was their fault. You know, they felt a lot of guilt and a lot of grieving pain that was not resolved. They felt like they could have been there more for their brother. And the pain of it was just so huge. So they, you know, tried to let it go, tried to put it into the past, like move on into the, in, you know, go forward. But this was unresolved. So this pain of the event was now carried inside my client's body. And this is what causes cancer. It's carrying unresolved stress. We have to resolve stress through psycho-emotional processing. So anyways, then she was diagnosed with lung cancer a couple of years later. She did chemotherapy for many months, and then she was declared cancer-free. And then 1 year after she was originally diagnosed, her cancer came back, and now it was worse. And then they tried to do the same chemotherapy, which didn't work anymore. So that's when she did a session with me to try to get to the root cause. And so when she did that session with me, I was the first person to ask her, first of all, what's the stress in your life? What was the stress in your life before your diagnosis? So we talked about that and then discovered her brother had died. And then I was, of course, the first person to help her process that death, like dig into the pain. In the session, she cried. She released the stress. We grieved properly together. I taught her how to grieve. And so she actually resolved. Now, this is a, it was a, probably a 3-hour session, but she resolved this now and realized, you know, was able to forgive herself, for example, and realized that it wasn't her fault and so on. And so this completely transformed the whole experience inside her being. Right. And she now was able to truly let it go and not suppress it. And so she had an appointment with the Mayo Clinic 2 weeks after a session. It was already made because she was going to go there now. She's being passed on from her oncologist to the Mayo Clinic to try to see if they could find some new drug that might be available, some new kind of treatment to work on the cancer since the previous one wasn't working. And when she went there to do tests and to begin working with them, the tumor is completely gone. So within 2 weeks after our session, her tumor dissolved and disappeared. And so there's one story for you.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Again, it's like, how do people respond to help one another also? That we seem to have this real trouble helping each other in a real, any kind of real way. So just you talking to that woman and giving her a chance to actually say what was going on, she maybe had never even ever had that opportunity, ever.
That's exactly right. That's exactly true. That's what she told me, you know, because the approach to cancer, like oncologists aren't trained to do this. Mm-hmm. Oncologists are just trained to, you know, label the cancer, identify the kind of cancer, where it is in the body, and then administer, you know, the treatment. But they don't look into the person's lives. Like, I mean, and this is typical of the whole medical system, right? Like, doctors don't look into why a person might have a headache. They're just typically giving drugs. Mm-hmm. But yeah, thanks for saying what you said. You just shared a whole bunch of intense stuff, really. And this is why cancer is so hard to tackle, because we have to talk about what's uncomfortable. We have to mm-hmm. talk about what isn't actually right in the world. Like, what needs to actually change? Mm-hmm. And so that's the solution to cancer, is real positive change, not just trying to take something that's going to destroy the cancer. Mm-hmm. So that's way harder to do, right? We got to take responsibility for it. So you pointed out one child was on Ritalin, and then 2 years later, 80 of the children are on Ritalin. So then we have to look at what's really going on. So it's the whole system. It's mm-hmm. like, why are so many adults stressed? Why are so many people so focused on the rat race? Like, we don't even have time to spend quality time with our kids. Most human beings today don't know how to play anymore. Mm-hmm. That's how serious this is. Like, play has been lost. And play, many people think that play is competition. Play is like beating somebody at a game or beating somebody at a sport. That's not play. Real play, it's like, sure, it's a form of play, but real play is a process of connecting to your feelings and connecting to your soul and going with the flow, like being creative. So a form of play, for example, would be dancing. Mm-hmm. Like, how many people dance anymore? How many human beings are... When's the last time you danced? When's the last time you sang? And I don't mean learned dance either. This is still not what I'm talking about. I mean, you put on music and you just start moving around mm-hmm. and like having fun. And the ability to play has been lost for many people. Mm-hmm. And what's replaced it is this focus basically on survival. Like, how can I survive? How can I get away? It's become... And this is a product of how we're raised, the whole system, you know, like, what's the school system even preparing us for? It's how to make money.
Right. And you know? some of it's influencing also in the area of your sexual health development. Yeah. And so that's a whole other thing that's very complex mm-hmm. that has been introduced into the school system that has no place being there, in my opinion. And so I will just say what my opinion is about that. Life is confusing enough, you know, so this indoctrination that we do to children is quite unbelievable, and it's gotten worse and worse and worse over the decades. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's an interesting problem that we're in, but we have one of the things I think that's also happened is that families have really fallen apart in the last 40 years, where you mm-hmm. see that the parents don't have the support of each other to talk to each other through all the things that happen. And they're not, you know, so the monogamy is lost, the sanctity of the relationship is lost. And so you're not talking to one another about what's going on with your children, and you're too busy fighting to survive, to be able to look at them and to try and help them sort through things. So what kind of cancers do you see that are related to that kind of thing? So that's different than lung cancer, I'd imagine.
Right. Yeah. The cancers related to more like challenges in relationships mm-hmm. are typically ovarian cancer, uterine cancer, testicular cancer, mm-hmm. Cancer of the intestines, cancer of the stomach, cancer of the liver. That area of the body is usually related to like unresolved conflict in relationships with people. Mm-hmm. And this is actually why cancer skyrocketed so much during the pandemic, or since the pandemic, because what the pandemic kind of represented was all the dysfunction in our society psycho-emotionally, really. It's like, how much guilting and shaming and judging and fighting has mm-hmm. gone on since the beginning of the pandemic. Now, the responsible thing to do when there's a health crisis would be what? Focusing on health principles, right? Yeah. That would be the responsible thing. You'd take responsibility for yourself as well, mm-hmm. as a spiritual adult is what I call it. You would want to build your immune system. You'd want to start optimizing your diet. You'd want to start getting out in nature more, breathing fresh air. You'd want to start de-stressing. You know, mm-hmm. you want to really start to care for yourself and then encourage everyone else to care for themselves. And if we all focused on caring for ourselves together and optimizing our health, then what would the health status look like in the population, say, 2 years down the road? Mm-hmm. But what happened instead is irresponsible. It's everyone else is responsible for my health. Mm-hmm. And you want to find ways to guilt and shame people, tell people you'll never talk to them again. You can't see my kids if you don't have an injection. All the amount of fighting and mm-hmm. conflict and utter destruction of friendships, relationships, family units just reached a peak. And it's because we're not prepared for spiritual adulthood. The school system does not teach us how to communicate and connect to others. It does not teach us what our needs are, how to honor our feelings, how to respect people. Like, I mean, when you're put into school, you're disrespected right from day one, mm-hmm. right? It's completely not respecting you as a soul and your feelings and your desires and your passions. Like, you just have to learn this stuff with threat of punishment and threat of loss of love. Mm-hmm. Like, so once you get deep into this, what cancer really to solve the problem of cancer, it's a truly spiritual thing. It's a personal transformation thing. Like, we have to become aware of how to love better, like aware of how to communicate and connect better. And not, you know, so if someone makes a mistake, what are we taught? We're taught mostly to punish the person. Well, this is not high consciousness. If someone makes a mistake, what you need to do is connect and communicate and ask and figure out why the mistake was made. First of all, it's okay because everyone makes mistakes. No one is perfect. And then we can connect and communicate and find new ways of performing differently so we can be more accurate and not make the mistake again. But so you see how the difference is? One, punishing the person can lead to more and more stress. The second thing can actually cause an evolution together and an improvement and a positive growth together. Mm-hmm. These are two examples of different psycho-emotional ways of approaching a challenge. So really the future of cancer, and I have 50 coaches now around the world who have taken my training. The future of cancer really is about spiritual growth, is about psycho-emotional evolution. And it's like in my training, I'm teaching how when you run into a relationship challenge, if you run into a life challenge, a career challenge, you must grow through the challenge. Mm-hmm. You must learn and grow through the challenge instead of getting deeper and deeper and deeper into stress and deeper into unresolved emotions and stuff like that, which is the cause of cancer. So this is how you prevent cancer. You grow through the challenges, but these are real challenges that are so difficult that people are not able to grow through them. And so what instead happens is people start having affairs. Relationships just break down altogether. Families are broken. And so on, like you're pointing out, which is all the dark stuff that we have to have the courage and take the responsibility for talking about and digging into so we can actually change it. But if mm-hmm. people don't want to look at it, then you can't heal. So mm-hmm. I was saying, basically, you can heal every time. But if you don't want to look at it, if you don't have the courage to get into it and start facing fears and transforming it, then you won't heal.
Let's talk about how
true it is.
Yeah, it is true. But let's talk about one of the other things that I see coming up over and over again in my podcasts and in research is the amount of people who've been abused, either through sexual abuse as a child.
It's extremely high.
It's extremely high. Mm-hmm. And the also what I will call sexually abusive, the visualization of the things that people have to see on TV or on their social media feeds. That is borderline pornographic, if not pornographic, and mm-hmm. sometimes just outright anti-human. And so, so are those two things different from one another? The sexual abuse as a child and some of that other stuff that comes through maybe as people get a little bit older, or are they essentially kind of the same? Do they resonate in the same part of the body?
Well, so one of the first things I want to say is sex is not love. So this is one of the things that children are not prepared for. Like we're just not prepared for. So when people go out into the life and start having sexual relationships, they think it's love. Mm-hmm. It's very easy to think that sex is love, because when you have sex with someone, having an orgasm and having all this physical touch and connection and this play, this is actually a form of play. It can be, usually is, like creativity. You're finally free and you have this, wild, exciting experience. Then people can just think that this is love. It's not love. And what oftentimes happens is relationships are formed on sex. And then as time goes on, then you start to get to know the person and you start to realize, whoa, this is a person who has a soul. And they are unique and they also have imperfections. They're not just this perfect person. And here's where you have to be able to grow together. Mm-hmm. You have to actually grow. And this is the sacredness of a relationship. Like if you get married, you're coming into a very deep spiritual contract where you are going to run into each other's imperfections, each other's shadows, each other's traumas potentially that you're carrying from childhood. And you have to be able to grow together. If you don't grow together and heal these things, become more aware, become more conscious, become more loving, you will either develop a disease, I'm not kidding, or your relationship will be destroyed. And then you just go to another relationship, do the same thing. And so the whole spiritual understanding of life has been lost, honestly, to a very big degree. Religion is not spirituality. People think that they can go to church and then that will fix things, but that's still not actual growth. You can't just read a Bible and now know how to navigate life. You just, it's completely different. So, there's Peter Levine, who is a expert in sexual trauma. He says that 1 in 4 people are sexually abused in their childhood. Yes, pornography is like at an all-time high. The human race is just really in trouble, to be honest, because corporations sort of run the world. Corporations are what constantly feed messages and belief systems and values to people. And if you're not conscious of this, you can just take it on. And so the human race has become like overly focused on sex, overly focused on basically irresponsible things, So families are breaking down and health is breaking down. But if we bring this back to cancer specifically, the war on cancer obviously doesn't address any of this. So like, if you really want to heal, if you want to prevent cancer, if you want to reverse cancer, you got to dig into this serious stuff and start evolving, start growing spiritually and really creating positive change, which is totally possible when people do it and they heal. But it's hard. It's hard work.
Yeah. Well, easier than going for chemo.
Because that's
got some side effects that are not that pleasant. Chemo, radiation. Maybe people don't know what they're getting into.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It's a good point. Like chemo can destroy you. In my book, I reference research that shows that chemotherapy is a cause of cancer. And the success rate of chemotherapy is 3% long term, right? So yes, chemotherapy can shrink a tumor or something, but what happens over the long term? Well, the long term success is 3%. So basically it doesn't work.
So then you've had the opportunity to go to the doctor's office. They they diagnose you with something, you go for multiple tests. Like it's an enormous amount of a person's life dealing with illness, whether it's cancer or something else, right? So it's like you're driving to appointments, you're seeing your specialist, you gotta, and there's all these people waiting in your life on pins and needles about what the result's going to be. And I think we've got into the psychology of this victim mentality where it's better to be sick because then at least I belong to a group somewhere, than to be lone wolfing it out here trying to fix this thing on my own, because there's whole support groups for this stuff, you know, so I can go to the cancer runs and I can go to the, like, that's a whole thing. That's a whole big movement. So if you're going to those things, and I've asked people, so why did you have cancer? What do you think the reason was for it? And they'll go, like, just blank on me. Totally. It's like, or any other disease. It's like, they'll blank. They don't know why they've got it. They don't know why they have it. Like, So it's like, well, I don't know why I had it, but I am going to go and raise, you know, $20,000 for whatever the thing is. I go, but how's that helping you? Are you getting any better?
Right. And cancer is one of the scariest things a person can experience. And the fear of death appears immediately. And the fear of death is one of the greatest fears that a human being can ever face. So when we don't have any of the tools needed to heal ourselves, we don't even know that it's possible. And we've been taught that from a young age, in school, one of the deepest psychological things we learn about school is that someone on the outside of us is in charge of us, right? Someone on the outside of us is the source of our everything. Like how we feel, it's up to them. What we're going to accomplish, what we should focus on, what we should choose, it's up to them. And so, when a person develops cancer, they immediately psychologically, and naturally, of course, are afraid and then look to the outside. Like who should I go to heal me? And it doesn't work. The only thing you have to heal yourself. Like you have to actually take an inventory of your life, not just your diet, but your actual life, like your happiness, your freedom. Are you living a fulfilling life? Are you living your dreams? Are you being honest about things? You got to go deep into your life and take responsibility for that and transform it. So it's so difficult because the whole reason a person has run into a challenging life scenario is because they didn't know how to actually solve the problem, because they didn't have the tools. They don't have the support. They were never even taught. So people suppress their emotions. And this is why, like you said, you can ask a person, what do you think caused their cancer? And they just go blank, because they really don't know oftentimes, or they know, but it's too scary to even talk about, so uncomfortable that they just don't want to talk about it. And that's one of the real challenges. So tackling cancer really is about courage, spiritual courage, like facing fears, being honest, and taking responsibility for yourself. This is the hard stuff. You know, in the past, Aboriginal tribes would prepare children for adulthood by taking the children, once they reach a certain age, they all had their own methods of initiation into adulthood. But they would, as one example that I share is, children would be taken way out into the middle of a jungle, left there alone with just a knife, just some very basics, and then abandoned and left there for days. And that child now had to figure out how to look after themselves, how to take responsibility for themselves and make it back to the tribe. And if they made it back to the tribe after days and days, they were now considered to be a man or a woman for real. And what that does is it makes you have to actually take responsibility for yourself. You have to actually face your fears. You have to deal with your emotions yourself. And of course, they would have been teaching and guiding their kids as well. But in our society today, there's no initiation into adulthood. What we're taught is that we're an adult when we're done school. It's like when you're done your training in school, like once you've repeated enough information and memorized enough stuff, now you're ready for life. And this is so far from the truth. This is so dangerous. Mm-hmm. It's like it's skipping years and years and years of development. So essentially, once you start to learn this, like if you listen to this, as soon as you can start actually developing yourself, start like learning how to communicate. Nonviolent Communication is a good book on this by Marshall Rosenberg. Nonviolent Communication. That book alone should be taught in every school around the whole world. We should be learning how to actually communicate with people, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. to connect actually. But yeah, we need to. So with cancer, what I share is that if someone has cancer, if you can turn cancer into a gift, mm-hmm. a cancer is not a gift, but you can turn it into a gift. Actually, mm-hmm. you can make it a life-changing event that woke you up to so many things that changed your life for the better, because you changed your life for the better, right? Because you mm-hmm. figured it out, you faced fears and so on. And usually you need someone like a coach that really understands this, like mm-hmm. myself or one of the people that I've trained. But if you can turn it into a gift, it really will be a gift. It will change your life for the better forever in a such a positive. It's a huge thing too. It's not just a small thing. To reverse a tumor, you really have to go through a true life change. Mm-hmm. And then that will be passed on for all generations to come in your family lineage. And if you don't do that, if you just get caught in the spiral of chemotherapy and all of that, then generationally, it just keeps going. And it usually gets worse with each generation.
Yeah, it's such a huge victory for people when they actually get inspired and ignited to do something for themselves. And then once they've got that situation resolved, they never go back. Yeah. You just never go back, because you realize how competent you are. You realize how much mm-hmm. power you have. And so talk a little bit more about your program, like, or your coaching program, because I know you've got 20 coaches worldwide, which is awesome. So people who are looking for treatments or coaches mm-hmm. can reach out to you. Talk a little bit about that, and then talk about people who would be a good fit to be a coach in your coaching program.
Oh, okay. Thanks. Yeah. I have about 60 coaches now.
Oh, sorry. 60 coaches.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, one of them is an oncologist.
Nice.
Two are naturopaths. I've had a doctor now. Now the majority of the people that have taken my training have been, holistic lifestyle coaches, personal trainers, hypnotherapists, a couple of stay at home moms. And a couple of people just passionate about health in general, mm-hmm. and a few people that are just starting health coaching, and this is how they want to start.
Right.
It's kind of a big leap to start here, because if you go deeper in this, so this mm-hmm. is a focus of not physical stuff like diet and lifestyle, but you know, the deeper stuff, belief systems, emotional healing. Okay, so yeah, I have two levels of training. And in my first level of training, I teach the root cause of cancer, how it grows, like how this works, how the brain is connected to our organs and all parts of our body. So when we're having specific stresses about certain themes, like I shared, if we have stress about loss, that's mm-hmm. occurring in a certain part of the brain, but it's also simultaneously affecting a certain part of the body, which is the lungs. So I explained the root cause of cancer in that training. And then the root cause of cancer in each part of the body. Mm-hmm. So you learn accurately what's really causing it as a general statement. Then you still have to talk to your client and figure out what their story is. And then I have a 15-step emotional healing process that I teach. Each step is very deep. And when you go through these steps with either yourself, like, so I've been using this process myself, like it's my creation. I've kind of mm-hmm. formed this over all the years of working with cancer patients. Like this experience has just taught me this process. I've just kind of put it together as I mm-hmm. learned, but that's the process I teach in level one training. And this is how you prevent cancer. And it's extremely potent. Four of my students that have taken my training have had cancer, and that's why they decided to take the training. And all four, so 100% of them have reversed their cancer. Nice. Without treatments, without supplements, without an alternative mm-hmm. approach, without like change, not their diet. This is not that I don't say, like changing your diet is still a good thing. All the lifestyle stuff is still important. It's just, it's not the root cause. So, yeah, so that's level one training, this 15-step process, which is very deep. And this is what you then teach clients, you help clients with. So, and you, it can reverse cancer, but this is prevention. So then I have level two. In level two, I got really deep into the subject of God and belief systems and our subconscious. And now you learn my reversal process, and it's a 15-step process too. That basically you and your client go through one step at a time and complete each step. And as you check them off, if you can get through the steps together, their cancer will disappear. And that's more intense. It's more difficult to reverse cancer than it is to prevent it.
Right. With anything in life.
Yeah. Once you have cancer, you're now caught in this potential cycle of an endless fear of death. You know, like even when people do a treatment and then their cancer is gone, then they're still doing tests like every several months. There's always this fear like cancer could come back. And really, that fear won't go away until you really truly understand why it was even there and you've really resolved it. Then the fear goes. But so there's a lot of factors involved in reversing cancer that makes it more challenging. So I have a whole process that I teach in level two. In level two training, I teach the seven initiations of spiritual adulthood that we all must face at some point. And when someone has cancer, they're facing an initiation, a psycho-emotional initiation, a challenge of life that they must transcend in order to heal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's a lot of things I teach in level two and level one that I'm not sharing here, but that's like an overview.
Mm-hmm. So for people who are interested, how can they find you? How can they start working with you either as a client or as a coach?
Go to my website, wheeloflifeacademy.com.
Perfect. Wheeloflifeacademy.com. Yes.
Yeah. So there, if someone has cancer, they can do a root cause session with me. It only takes me one session to figure out the root cause. Like I've just been doing this for so long, like I said, that it's completely scientific. It's totally scientific. And, you know, but the thing is the cancer societies don't study it. They don't focus. This isn't a focus, like the stress correlation to cancer. It's just not focused on.
Right. So, and maybe we'll take the rest of that conversation to the Rumble channel just in case we get censored. So for those of you who want to come and check out the podcast over there, just come to Master Your Life. You'll find us on Rumble. You'll find us on YouTube or come over to the website, masteryourlife.ca. And we're going to continue. First of all, I guess thank you, everyone who's joined us for this first part of the conversation. Love yourselves. Love each other. Mind your minds. You know that wellness lives within you. That's all for us. Bye for now. And thanks, Paul, for being my guest.
You're welcome, Leah. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for being a part of our program today. Master Your Life is a presentation of Leah Mattinson Enterprises, Inc. Join us next time on Master Your Life, helping you to discover the very best of you.